Hey guys, welcome to the Bagging Broadcast, episode number 561. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
And I'm Paul.
And we're a weekly podcast that comes to you in three ways.
The first being The Weekend Geek, bringing you the top geek stories of the past week. Next is The List, the comic books that we are looking forward to coming out May 1st, 2024. And in Paul's case, the third? Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because I was going to see if we could do a free comic book day episode where we talked about our free comic book day picks. But Paul's doing his own thing.
He's doing my own thing. I didn't see anything. And yeah, we could still talk about the free comic book day picks. You know,
we can talk about them. John and I will.
Oh, okay.
But maybe we'll discuss that more after we finish recording our main topic, which this week we are doing another Tears and Rain, except Tears is spelled T-I-E-R-S, and Rain is spelled R-E-I-G-N. This is where we make a tier list and rank something. And in celebration of Star Wars Day coming up this weekend in conjunction with Free Comic Book Day.
And Paul's birthday. So many. It's a convergence of so many great things.
So a lot of things happening. We are going to be ranking the Star Wars films. So the things that came out on the big screen, and you know what? We're in that weird in-between phase right now where John's birthday was the other day. Paul's birthday is coming up. Why don't we all share a drink?
Yeah. Yeah. So, cheers to my good friend John and bringing an excellent beer to the table and sharing two of them with me. Thank you so much, John. Cheers.
You're welcome. And we are all enjoying Boddington's Pub Ale. Smooth and creamy. You have that nice draft ball from Guinness in here. And this is my official, unofficial birthday beer. I seem to buy it every year for my birthday because it's like, oh, I'm having hot dogs and burgers for a little cookout. What's going to go great with that? It's Boddington's. And it is. It's just a delicious, easy drinking beer. And it's a lovely.
Yeah. And a little sweetness on it, which I like.
I bought one can of this in like the kind of craft your own pack thing. It was $2.99. Fantastic value. Like, definitely worth it because it hits all those notes that John mentions. Just a quick question, though. How long has this been your, like, unofficial official birthday beer for? How long has that been going on?
I think it's been 3 years. 3 years in a row, I've gotten it. I got it 2 years ago when we were doing hot dogs. We were doing like just a hot dog cookout. We call it it's something that my dad and I usually do for our birthdays. It's hot dogs, sauerkraut, mashed potatoes, gravy, just on a big plate. Cover it in yellow mustard.
Like German comfort food there. Like that's exactly the kind of stuff my mom would have made. But instead of like mashed potatoes, it would have probably been like diced potatoes with like dill and rosemary.
Yeah. So when I'm having that, I'm like, oh, I'll have this. Last year, I believe I bought a 4-pack of this, but my wife had a little surprise party for me where she invited my friend Max and Paul. And we had cocktails and beers that Max gave me for my birthday. So we had that on a kind of a game night. But I drank my Boddington's the next day when I built Legos. So it worked out.
I similarly, when it's my birthday and I'm like doing like, all right, I'm going to treat myself. Like I might buy, you know, a more expensive bottle, just like something that I normally wouldn't buy. But I'll always also get myself a pack of Founders Backwoods Bastard. Because that's like my go-to, like, it's my beer. And if for some reason they don't have that, I'll get Dragon's Milk from New Holland, since I can find that now. Yeah. Paul, do you have a it's my birthday, it's my beer?
Maybe, you know, something like when it gets late at night, like I'll crack open maybe something higher ABV, kind of like you, Chris. Probably like a Three Philosophers maybe would probably hit right. You know, with that cherry sweetness.
They have that nitro now, Paul.
Ooh. Maybe that'll become
nice, my smooth and rich. You know,
4-pack 16-ounce cans.
Maybe that'll become my birthday beer this year. Yeah, so that I think that would probably be, that's like the one that, you know, I'll get a craving for and be like, you know what, let's get that.
Yeah, and let's get that, and by that I mean into the news with the Week in Geek.
Yeah, but everybody enjoys a Boddington.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's great. I had one not too long ago. I don't remember when, like, I had them, like, it's a couple months ago, and I was like, yeah, it's nice. It's just cheap, but it's like not cheap, like,
no, cheap. I think
it's not like a poor beer. Like, it's very good price for what you get. And like,
I think it's $8.99 for a 4-pack of it.
Yeah, it's great. Like, it's crushable. Yeah. Like, we've only been talking for like 15, 20 minutes now, and I'm already like at the tail end of it. And like 4%, you said, great.
Yeah.
But it's time to be alive.
No, you know what isn't finding the time and needs to find a new time? Kraven the Hunter from Sony Pictures Entertainment.
Yeah, Chris. So this was going to be coming out, I believe, next week originally, but has been pushed back to December 13th, 2024. So it's no longer a summer movie. So this will not be something we are talking about next episode when you do our summer movie blockbuster bracket buster, because this is now going to be a holiday movie, something to take your kids to go see. And I'm assuming you're taking them because they misbehaved and Child Protective Services won't sell you coal, so you're like, we're gonna go to the movies, kids.
Yeah, I started watching the trailer again because I kind of forgot about this movie, and I wanted to see if there was a new trailer online. And there are new trailers, but they're from like the places that make their own trailers, like together, you know,
which I really, I hate those.
Yeah.
You can never find real trailers
because you click on it and trailers. Immediately you realize what it is and you're like, never mind.
I've had some similar things too with like anime, because we talked about it with our anime episode a couple weeks ago. Like, I'm super into Demon Slayer right now. Like, I'm reading through the manga. Like, I just bought like the next 3 volumes when I went to the comic book store today. And the fight scenes in the anime are absolutely fantastic. So I'll have like a moment where I'm like, oh, I want to put on this fight scene. So if you just type in Demon Slayer fight, you'll get the official ones. But then there's a lot of like fan animated for like things too. Like, it might be something that they created, like a story, or it could be them animating like one of the fight scenes from the manga that hasn't come out yet. And nothing against them or their talent, but it's not what I'm looking for. That's the frustration. So I will never watch it because I don't want to see that. I'm looking for something different.
Hold on. All I know about anime in the internet is that you're watching clips from an anime with Offspring playing in the background.
Or Linkin Park.
It's an Offspring music video.
Yes.
And it's a bunch of it just anime clips.
Linkin Park was the other big one. Because it would be like One Step Closer, or it would be like Numb or something like that. But yeah.
That's the internet from like 30 years ago.
Yes. Also, Paul, you just sent over the "they're taking the hobbits to Isengard" meme. So basically, you're still there. Like, that's where you're at. I do not lament.
I'm getting older, but I'm not growing up.
I don't lament this movie being pushed back at all. If anything, I think Sony may realize, okay, things aren't working, and this might be them trying to figure out how to fix it. I don't know how much damage control they would need to do to try to right the course for everything that they've done. From, I think Venom seems to be okay. Like, people seem to like those, but Venom, Morbius, Madame Web, Kraven, all like already didn't look like it was going to be delivering anything more or delivering what people want from the spum. So at what point do you think they just say like, okay, this seriously is not going to be working? Because they already canceled the El Muerto movie that was supposed to be coming out. There was something else that they were talking about doing.
It
was
Sable, like, Black Cat.
Oh yeah, Black Cat, Silver Sable. That was one. And then they were in talks with Donald Glover to do like another, literally like one comic book appearance Marvel like Spider-Man villain movie. I don't even remember the name of the villain who it was going to be, but I really feel like that was more just a way for them to try to get Donald Glover in an office so they could start talking to him about doing something. Because I mean, he's super talented, so yeah, you want to work with him, but that might have been how they like baited that hook.
Who's the actor who plays Sandman in the Raimi ones? Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
He said in an interview that they are in talks with Raimi and Tobey Maguire about doing a Spider-Man 4, and he asked his agent, because they had sent something to him, and he's like, well, I thought my appearance in the last the Spider-Man No Way Home filled my contract, because they had a contract for him to do another Spider-Man movie. Oh. And Sony said, no, it doesn't. So they could still put him in.
Yeah, because he was hardly
Spider-Man 4
there in that No Way Home.
I think he just did like five voice sentences.
Yeah. And also, like, they didn't do a lot with that character, who was one of the brighter points of Spider-Man 3, just like him and that kind of reluctance, like, oh, I got to do this because I got to do it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a complete 180 in No Way Home, where it was just like, I don't care. I got to go where I got to go. Like,
I got to go back home.
You will. Like, calm down, bro. This bum's just not good.
No, it's because it's a lot of dumb executives making bad decisions and not putting the money where it needs to be. It needs to be in the writing. It needs to be in the story. Like, that's Madame Web with all those female spider characters could have been a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Could have been good.
But it's filled with dumb ideas and bad dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, everybody says, it's the worst, like, it's just the worst dialogue, and it doesn't make sense. And they bait and switched all of those actresses who thought they were signing on to a Marvel movie.
Yeah. And I think they also announced that the Cindy Moon Silk show that they were doing somewhere, I don't remember if it was Amazon or Max or something, isn't moving forward either. It's like, that's a cool character. Like, you could have done something interesting with, but maybe now then not doing that frees that license up to appear in something maybe better, because I would love that. I love Silk as a character. I want to see her done right, done well, but I don't think Sony's capable of that.
No.
Anyone have anything else, like anything that you maybe just popped up in your mind?
No, I've kind of been laying low, you know. I haven't heard anything new. You know, I'm sure there's new stuff coming out for Star Wars Day, but
they're starting to like gear up for Star Wars Celebration 2025, which is going to be in Japan. Like, they're starting some of the announcements for that, but nothing like great. I'm sure Star Wars Day we actually will get
Bad Batch wrapped up today.
See, I still haven't watched anything more than the first episode of that.
I guess I'm just this episode behind right now, so.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping to get, like, trailers for all the upcoming shows.
We should be getting something for I can't remember the name of Jude
Skeleton,
Law.
Skeleton Crew.
Like, hopefully we get something for that, because that's been filming for a while now, and, like, that should be cool.
When did Ahsoka start and end? That was last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm like, man, how many shows are we getting this year then? Because
Acolyte.
Yeah.
We're getting the Tales of the Sith show. Well, I feel like we were calling it a show because they're not shorts, but they're not like full episodes. Like, they're kind of more abridged. But yeah, I think Skeleton Crew.
Skeleton Crew and Acolyte. I think, and those are. What's his name from Rogue One? We got the first
season. Oh, Andor.
Second season Andor.
Okay, maybe I don't think that's coming out, because originally that was going to start shooting and filming during the writer's strike, and then they decided against it.
Well, the creator said that he can't work on it because he writes during it and he can't write.
Right.
So production for Andor season two started November 2022, but it encountered an unforeseen pause with just 2 weeks of filming left. So it seems like maybe they have done some more work than we think on it.
Okay, so.
But I would like to see more of Andor. Like, that show is fantastic. Like, one of the best Star Wars we've gotten. We won't be talking about it in the main topic, though. Don't worry, because maybe next year we'll talk about the shows.
Yeah.
But there you go. Keep this thing going.
Theatrically released Star Wars movies.
I already got my bracket made.
We'll keep beating this horse. I don't know what to do. Like, usually Week in Geek and Beer Talk takes us a lot longer, but I was like, hey, Boddington's, it's fine. Draven, yeah, whatever. Think I'm going to get up and get my next beer. John, do you know what you're going with next?
Why don't we do IPA and finish with a stout?
Okay. So while I'm grabbing that, we can actually jump into the list. So the comic books we're looking forward to coming out today, May 1st, Paul.
Yeah,
what book are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to picking up Free Comic Book Day 2024, Star Wars / Darth Vader, number one. This is reprints of two different stories, more than likely. It's Luke Skywalker and the rest of the gang going back to Echo Base because there were some Rebels survivors stranded on Hoth that have reached out. And then in Darth Vader's story is he found Sabe, the one that looks like Queen Amidala, Princess Amidala, or Senator Amidala, and he has her out looking to find the son of Vader. If there is a son or any, you know, the children of Vader. But I think there's going to be a double cross. Classic.
I'm so interested in the Star Wars comics, like especially like these ongoing ones, like Star Wars and Darth Vader and like Dr. Aphra. Like everything I've read, I always enjoyed it. But it's just there's too much to try to keep up on.
Mm-hmm.
And every year I say, like, oh, I'm going to try to catch up on it. And I just haven't because I'm already reading enough other stuff that I'm engaged in. So maybe this will be the year that I start to try to buckle down and catch up. Because I feel like all of these trades are probably pretty cheap now. Yeah,
I hope so.
So I should be able to pick them up for, like, at least, like, $5 to $10. Say anything more than that, like, I may have to wait a little bit longer. But, I mean, I like these characters, like this universe. I want to keep on reading more of the High Republic stuff, too, because the comics were good, too, you know, to kind of jump over to our discussions over on Word Books with Friends. Like, this is also a corner of the universe that I like dwelling in, and I want more of those characters that I might not see in the Word Books as much.
I like that it's kind of giving us a kind of canon answer for why the Marvel Comics had Luke Skywalker with a yellow lightsaber.
Yeah. Because yellow is the coolest color. I mean, that's all. That's literally why it says, like, that's one of the issues I did read, where, like, as soon as he ignites the lightsaber, Luke turns to the screen and is like, I have a yellow lightsaber now because this is the coolest color. I'm glad you all have accepted that fact. And then he turns it off, and then, like, that's the end of the book. Like, it was really short. I mean, I feel like I kind of got taken spending $4.99 for it, but like I couldn't dispute anything in that book.
Well, how is $0?
Oh, that's perfect. That's right in my price range.
John, you're not picking up you're not waiting till Friday to pick your book. You're
no,
picking a book that comes out today, May 1st.
That's right. And I am picking up Space Ghost number one from Dynamite Comics. And this is written by David Pappose and art by Jonathan Liu. And this is a origin story. this is a scientific station gets attacked, and a doctor has to take his children to try to take his children from the space pirates, and the, you know, Jan and Jace and their pet monkey Blip. But when it's overwhelmed, a wild card shows up, and that wild card is Space Ghost.
Oh, okay. So it's in the Super Friends universe, not the How He Became a Talk Show Host universe.
Correct.
I don't know if you guys have been on YouTube and how things work with your...
Oh, yeah, he's had like, an algorithms. Anniversary, and they were doing live episodes, basically.
They were doing, like, it's the 30th anniversary of Space Ghost Coast to Coast. It is still streaming live right now. There's 698 people watching it on the Adult Swim YouTube channel, but they've just been constantly looping all of the Space Ghost Coast to Coast episodes. So
30 years old?
Space Ghost Coast to Coast?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you said only 30 years old, Paul.
Well, because I'm turning 41, and I don't think it was on when I was 11.
I remember watching Space Ghost Coast to Coast on Saturday night when my parents would, like, be having, like, a bonfire in the backyard. Like, I would be out there for a while. Like, we would, like, do marshmallows, weenies, like, whatever. And then, like, as soon as it would hit, like, 11 o'clock, I'd be like, all right, like, I'm going in, because I would put on Cartoon Network, because it would be like Space Ghost and C-Lab, like, things like that.
Space Ghost Coast to Coast started in 1993 and ran to 2012, 117 episodes.
Wow.
Not bad for, like, having 15 minutes of animation that they broke down into all of those episodes.
Wait a minute, just him going... with his putting his arm out, the same things.
Yeah, but that's kind of like the charm of it. Like,
yeah,
it's so fun. Haha, Boltar, establish contact with pizza parlor. All right, let me. Okay, and then I don't know who these people are that are like the special guests, because that was the thing. It's like they're mostly comedians. From the early 90s, that I'm like, I don't know you.
They were all kind of friends of people, too.
Yeah.
But, like, the second episode that's for season one is Bob Denver, who played Gilligan, you know? And then it's, like, Bobcat Goldthwait is, like, number
that's
five.
That's actually one that I watched the other night, because I put it on while I was playing Warcraft, because I was just, like, running stuff. And so, like, I had it streaming in my second monitor, and I was like, yeah, this is fine to just have on in the background while I'm doing stuff. But for some reason, like, the mixing is really off on the audio, so the closing music and, like, opening music super loud. So it's Space Ghost talking like this. Moltar. Or not Moltar. That's, oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
Brack. Yeah, Brack and Zorak, yeah.
And then, bah, 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 and I was like, oh, okay, let me turn this volume down. but yeah, hey,
but they had Space Ghost. They had David Byrne, they have Carrot Top.
Huh?
It's just crazy who they have on here.
See, I always assumed that they didn't get
Campbell?
People... to actually do Space Ghost, they just got like clips of another interview, and they just put their voice, you know, like they just get non sequitur answers, and they're like, yeah, you know.
No, they definitely had them all, because sometimes they do actually talk to Space Ghost or about Space Ghost, but you know, they were told like, all right, you're gonna go and you're just gonna be there for like half an hour, like it's fine, you can just say whatever you want to say, and we'll voice around it.
They had Emeril Lagasse. Like season four.
Hey, Tooth.
That was a big get back then.
You're just, he was top of the game. So, John, you're just really filling some of those pulp characters right now in your comics, because you had Dick Tracy last week, Space Ghost this week.
I picked up probably 15 years ago. I think Dynamite did a Space Ghost when they were doing like G-Force, and they were doing a bunch of those, and they brought back a Space Ghost And it wasn't, I don't remember it being very good. I remember buying that first issue because it was like an Alex Ross cover.
Mm.
So yeah, Space Ghost, it's fun.
You know what else is fun? Hearing what Chris
there are
has
a
to
ton,
say.
There are a ton of covers for it as well.
Yeah, well they know where they're going after. I don't think there's any Space Ghost Coast to Coast covers, which would be probably the marquee cover. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in spring right now. We're about to be heading into summer, and what's better than sitting down outside barbecue, eat some hot dogs, maybe drinking a Boddington's. Then read it in a comic book. So I'm actually going to be picking up the DC Comics Anthology, DC Spring Breakout number one. Spoilers, I'm not actually picking this up. I just needed a book to talk about, guys. But there's nothing wrong with an anthology book, because you never know what you're going to get out of it. Sometimes you could get something that's a lot of fun. And that's what I'm hoping for out of this.
I'm sorry, I was reading the dialogue because I didn't realize Blood Hunt was an event.
Oh, yeah.
And it's vampires.
Yes.
Again?
Yes.
I mean, DC just did vampires. Marvel, I don't think, has done vampires for a while.
But they've done it. Jubilee was a vampire.
But that was also like 15 years ago.
Still did it.
They still did it. And talking about doing it, John, did you crack open your beer?
I did.
Hey.
I am drinking from Beer Tree Brewing, their Cryo Nebula. This is made with Citra Cryo, Mosaic Cryo, and Simcoe Cryo. Cryo is like freeze-dried hops, like right when they're picked, and then you can use them, and they're still very fresh, but they're very kind of a unique to it. And this beer is delicious. It is super citrusy, tropical-y notes to it, super smooth drinking, absolutely delicious. I'm pretty sure every IPA from Beer Tree I've had has been really good and different. They're very different tasting. It's not like they're making the same beer and just changing the hops a la other half. These beers are standalone, very unique to themselves. And this beer is just that, and it's delicious. It's got a nice sweetness to it and very tropical fruity. And it's like a guzzler. Like you could just pound it. 7.5%. Like it just could keep going back and drinking it.
That's definitely how I feel about mine as well. It's drinking way too easy for the style of beer it is. Because I have from semi-local favorite, Angry Chair Brewing, their Prison Gator. And this is a double dry hopped India Pale Ale with Brew One and Galaxy hops. 8% ABV. But as you were talking about your beer, John, I was like, is he actually drinking Prison Gator? Because this is hitting all of those same notes. Like, it's super smooth, really nice tropical fruit pop on it. It hides that dry hopping and that 8% so well. Like, this could be dangerous. Like, this would be one of those beers, like, if you're not paying attention and you go to a brewery and you're like, okay, I've already had a couple beers, one more for the road, and you pick this one, you're not getting home. Like, it's it's so good. Like, really nice, fruity. Like, it's not like like a milkshake style beer, but I think that double dry hopping is adding just kind of like that depth that you would get from something that's done like a milkshake IPA or like with like a lactose to it. Like, this is great. Wow. I'm glad I saw John had picked up an IPA and I was like, oh, let me see if I can find something. And I was like, they don't have any cryo IPAs. What's the next closest thing I could probably get? And I was like, oh, these hops sound spacey with Brew One and Galaxy. Like, that works. Prison Gator. Hell yeah.
It's a cool looking can too.
The can's got like these cool like concentric rings and like skeletons on it. I will say, depending on time and what John wants to do when he comes down here, the new Angry Chair, like, brew pub that they have is a lot better than the old, like, 12-seat look at all the tanks that they used to have. If you want to try to get to Angry Chair, like, it might be worth the trip.
Yeah.
The dill pickle burger? Amazing. Just say it.
I think it just depends on time and where we're at family-wise and stuff. But yeah.
And speaking about time, I think it's time for a dramatic reading. And now, a dramatic reading from Monkey King, number 1, page 14, panel 7.
You're supposed to ask for a hall pass! What's your name again, young man?
That was a dramatic reading from Monkey King, number 1, page 14, panel 7.
I couldn't tell if that old person was a man or a woman.
It's okay. I honestly don't even remember the main character's name in that either. So I was like, yeah, what is his name? Not a great book. But you know what is great?
Star Wars.
In most cases. But like we said up at the front of the show, it's time for our Tears and Rain, where we're going to be building a tier list of these Star Wars movies. I am going to share my screen with you boys right now, because it's time to... Why is Paul sharing his screen?
Because I already made my tier list. I'm ready.
Okay, but you don't make a tier list. We're building a tier list together.
I know. I'm very excited, so I'm going to stop sharing my screen.
Why would you just do it? Like, he goes, I'm going to share my screen, and then you're like, nope, me. I'm going to do it. I've already done this on my own.
It's Paul. Who knows? We're going to
do it together.
So, we are going to be building our tier list, and it's going to be the Star Wars theatrical movie releases. We will be doing this from S rank, which is the highest, to A, to B, to C, to D, to F, which will be our lowest. Happy Star Wars Day, everybody. I think we need to do this in release order. So I think we will start off with Star Wars, original Star Wars. Just kidding. It's actually episode 4. Now there's a subtitle, A New Hope. The movie that introduced this galaxy from a long, long time ago, a galaxy far, far away, to everybody, and basically became like a cultural phenomenon. Like, I know Jaws was like the first blockbuster, but I think Star Wars is probably the second, because like this, no pun intended, but this movie became a force. Like, and it's one that's still like such a huge fandom and like media empire today.
I think like Jaws was, everybody wanted to see it, and some people were like, oh, you haven't seen it? I'll go see it again with you. Where A New Hope was, I'm going to go just on my own and re-see this. Like,
yeah.
I will see this 4 or 5 times in the theater. This is amazing. And for the time, and even like as a kid growing up in the 80s, there was nothing that looked as good as Star Wars.
Yeah, and And this is something that I hate that I have to admit. I don't remember the first time that I watched Star Wars, because it feels like that should be something that's important. Like, that's something that's impactful. But as far as I know, I was just born with a knowledge and love of this franchise. And it's just like in my DNA. It's part of who I am.
I will say I'm probably in fifth grade. Star Wars was already in my life. Like, I'd already watched him. I already liked him. But I remember, like, USA did a marathon. And I just remember sitting in the middle of, like, Return of the Jedi, just being like, I'm old enough that this all is sinking in, how big the events that are happening in this world are. And I just remember sitting in like my mom's apartment by myself being like, I love this, and it really becoming like part of me.
Yeah.
And, you know, for my birthday, I got 2 Star Wars set Legos, like Mandalorian helmet, and I got the Dagobah panoramic thing. Like, they're just, there's a love of Star Wars, and I feel like that is when it really sunk in. Like, I was probably like 5 or 6, and they did the re-release of Return of the Jedi, and I got I had the action figures, I had one of the big lightsabers that was like a solid piece, yeah, that you swung and it went like, I had that stuff. Like, I was a Star Wars fan, but I remember it when it became like a Star Wars love. And that was like watching that, being old enough to understand everything that was going, like really going on in those movies. And yeah, like I can think back and think of how I felt watching those movies in the early 90s in my mom's apartment.
I don't remember a time where I hadn't seen the original trilogy. Like, it was just something my parents had taped for us, and it was on, you know, we had it on, like, somebody recorded it off a TV when it was on cable or something. We got a copy of those tapes. And we wore those tapes out growing up. So
I hate that in my, and I say younger because I was probably like teenager at that time, like my willingness and acceptance of just being like, oh, I don't need this version of Star Wars anymore because I have this version of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Because what was Star Wars when I was a kid and would have first seen it is not what Star Wars became or what is now, because we had the original releases, then we had the special edition releases, which I do applaud Lucasfilm for doing, because that meant I got to go see Star Wars on the big screen. Like, at that point, I was in high school. I was a member of I was literally a card-carrying member of the Star Wars fan club, because I was a Star Wars insider, and I got to go see Star Wars at the AMC theater at the Walden Galleria, because that's when it used to be, like, upstairs next to where, like, mm-hmm. the food court was before they yeah. demolished all that and, like, built it again as a Regal, like, on the side, like, at a special, like, sneak preview, like, the week before. Well, maybe it probably wasn't the week before. That's how I'm remembering, but, like, at least a couple days before it came out for everybody to see. And it was electric. Like, it was just fantastic getting to see a Star Wars on the big screen. Mm-hmm. And I know things are different now because the special editions were, hey, here's more things added in, here's things updated, changed, fixed. But even now, if you're to go onto Disney Plus and sit down and be like, all right, I'm going to watch A New Hope, it's going to be different from what that version of the movie was like 20-something years ago, because they've been consistently and constantly tinkering with it. So I think the question that we need to ask before we start to rank things is, what version of this movie are we now going to be placing and talking about?
Okay. Well, if we go from my childhood, the very first time I saw any of the Star Wars movies, they were all edited
for TV.
So when I finally saw, like,
it's all pan and scan.
When my family went out and bought the actual tapes of Star Wars, you know, the 3-pack with that were all black, and each one had like a different helmet.
It was like Vader, Stormtrooper, and Yoda.
Was it? Yeah, probably. Or was it Vader, Stormtrooper, and Scout Trooper? Nope, Yoda?
I don't know. I had the one that was in the sleeve, the gold sleeve
with the three
set in.
That was the special edition VHS release. Because, yeah, it was black and...
And the gold, like, Vader was on the front and everything.
Or you could get... There was one that was black and gold. There was one that was black and silver. I think the black and silver one was the widescreen version of it, and then the black and gold was like the full screen pan and scan version.
So all I'm saying is that when we bought those tapes, it was like getting a special edition because there were added scenes or extended scenes that I had never seen before.
And they, Scruffy Nerf Herder, what does that mean, Dad? Like they would have edited that out for TV.
Oh, no. And yeah, that's up. The one. Yep, so it's your, yeah, you're yeah. right. Yep. Thanks for bringing it.
You're welcome.
It's good.
I brought receipts. I feel the same way. For me, like, I think original Star Wars and then special edition is kind of like my sweet spot. So I'm in that kind of like nebulous in-between phase now because, again, I don't remember the first time I saw Star Wars. I remember being excited that there was new stuff added into it. And I know a lot of that new stuff that they added in the special edition was like, oh, we've added more depth into like Mos Eisley. Like,
yeah,
like there's another layer of buildings behind what you originally saw because we only had like those front facades there. Like there's actual people walking around the streets now. There's animals like livestock being like dragged around the streets. I remember that all being exciting, but I don't remember what it looked like before that. I just remember feeling like, oh, yes, this is what a bustling spaceport should look like. This makes sense.
So for the Disney Plus versions, from what I think I know, I could be wrong, is those are the versions that were being worked on by Lucasfilm before the buyout for the 3D re-release. Because Lucasfilm was...
That they dropped because...
As soon as Disney bought them.
Yeah.
So
well,
these
they
were...
They put out episode one, right?
And yeah, because they were going to re-release them all.
Mm-hmm. And nobody went to see that one because nobody cared about that one. Right. Everyone wanted to watch all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But then they
wanted to watch the original trilogy in 3D. And yet they started with episode one.
Yeah.
And yeah, it didn't work. So it was kind of like being worked on and then kind of stopped being worked on.
So just to get the ball rolling on this, I feel like Star Wars, original Star Wars, just kidding, it's episode four, A New Hope. I think this is A tier.
Whoa, A.
I think it's only A because I have something else that I need to put above it. So this can't be better than that.
Yeah, a lot of things can be, but they all can be. That's what a tier list is. You can have a bunch of things on the same tier. And then you just have, you know, the division after that.
I'm good with putting New Hope in A tier with the possibility of it moving up.
Okay. Yeah, nothing is set in stone here.
Yeah, but I think it definitely is top to tippy top. Like, it's on the line between S and A.
Because, Paul, you're the one that's hesitant to put it there. So I will ask you this question. Is Star Wars A New Hope the best Star Wars?
It is my second favorite Star Wars right now.
Okay.
I mean, there's definitely the original three, I think, are all on the upper echelon. And I know there's a lot of, like, Return of the Jedi, blah, blah, blah. People like to poop on it. But everything that we've gotten...
I like it.
After it, I still love Jedi. I think Jedi's great.
Oh yeah, I love Jedi too. I'm gonna put it on A for now. It does have the possibility to move up to S as we move and discuss. But the whole reason I have to say like I don't think this is best Star Wars because I think the next movie we get is an example of best Star Wars with the first sequel, Star Wars Episode 5. Empire Strikes Back. Like, I think this is such a better movie. And one of the things about A New Hope is like, yes, you are jumping into this universe, the lives of these characters that you don't know. Empire Strikes Back, it starts off like so much more bombastically and so much more exciting because like now you have that semblance of knowledge for it. Like, and there's stakes. Like, yes, we jump into A New Hope with the assault on the Rebel cruiser, but man, jumping into New Hope with the assault on Echo Base, like, that had weight to it. That, like, felt heavy.
But you also, you have to remember that you don't have that movie without A New Hope. Mm. And New Hope is a hit made by one singular man who basically wrote it and directed it. And then you have him going, I've made lots of money. The studio is going to give me more money. We can put more money into this movie. And I'm going to give people my ideas and have two or three people write this and make it better, because I'm George Lucas. I'm a great idea man. Other people need to write my ideas down for me. And yes, I 100% agree. Empire is the best Star Wars movie. But you don't get that movie without New Hope.
You don't. Yeah, you don't get that movie with A New Hope. That doesn't mean A New Hope is better, though. That's my point. So that's why I'm like, A New Hope is A. And then we got Empire, which is better. And like, everything about Empire, like, is so much stronger. Like, it starts off big. If we want to talk about, like, characters, like, there's actual character development and, like, growth in it. It ends on that cliffhanger. Like, Han's, like, frozen carbonite. He's being sent off to Jabba. We find out that Vader's Luke's father, which is, like, one of the biggest, like, cinema twists in history. Like, I think Empire is not just S tier. I think it's top of the S tier. I think, like, as we add other stuff, if there are more things that work their way into that tier, it's going to be like, well, I don't know if it's as good as Empire.
Empire has become the movie nomenclature for a darker, mature sequel. Oh, this is our Empire.
Yeah.
I get that. But this also breaks the movie format, because now you're not going from a simple structure of a hero's journey from A New Hope. You're going to vignettes. Mm-hmm. You're going, it's definitely George Lucas pushing for that serialization of storytelling inside the movies. He wanted, you know, this was his take on Flash Gordon, you know, what you would see before you went to see the movie, the Saturday morning serial, you know. And this seems more like that, where it's the team's all broken up. You had the Battle of Hoth, and then the next, you know, then they're being chased. But then Luke is over here. You know, it's all, there's three or four different storylines all going on at the same time, instead of just a simple through line of A New Hope, which I say is a little bit worse because of that. Because things kind of get bogged down a little bit.
I feel like none of these
is a nice straight through line.
I don't think that's true. I feel like both these movies do move at a pretty, like, decent clip. And I think Empire, like, I mean, we do get a lot of introductions in A New Hope. And I think we get, like, also fair amount of introductions in Empire, like, because we meet Yoda, we meet the Emperor. Like, yeah, we see him in A New Hope, like, via hologram, but, like, he's actually, like, present in the movie. We get Lando, who's obviously the coolest character in Star Wars.
I don't think we get Boba Fett. Hologram of the Emperor in A New Hope. Mm-hmm. He's mentioned. Yeah.
You see him the first time you see him, he looks really bad with the
That's Empire Strike Backs. That's Vader kneeling, and that's when they discuss the disturbance in the Force. You get a mention of the Emperor when he dissolves the Senate, when Grand Moff Tarkin walks in. The local governors will keep the fear of this battle station.
I typed it wrong.
But yeah, we get introduced to the Emperor in Empire Strikes Back. It's the first time you see him in the cloak. And yeah, in the original edition, it's a monkey. It's like a orangutan mask or something. that the guy's wearing, and then they clean it up later. And
I am misremembering because it is in Empire Strikes Back the first time we see him.
Yeah. Hey, man, I misremembered what characters were on the home video release. So it happens to us all.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just looking at this thing where it's like, this is the original in 1980, which is like the gross, like, plastic mask. And then the updated version of it in the special edition. But then there's also like the later, like, okay, no, we redid it again version where it's like.
It's the guy that actually plays him in the
prequel. We filmed it yesterday kind of thing. Okay, I apologize. I was wrong on that. But yeah, you hear about the Emperor. Yes, you are correct.
I when I'm sitting down to watch a Star Wars movie, like, that's my take on like tears. I'm like, which one would I rather sit down to watch? It's going to be A New Hope over Empire.
This isn't which one do you want to sit down and watch. It's which one is better. That's the big question we're asking here. And I think the answer is Empire.
Empire is S. Empire is the top.
Okay. It's that good. All right.
It is that good.
I mean, like, is there...
And I am going to make a stronger argument.
Paul, what's your number one?
Rogue One.
Oh, I mean, Rogue One is also very Empire influenced. We'll get to that. Because we got to get through... Return of the Jedi first. Return of the Jedi. Again, the much maligned, like, of the original trilogy. Originage, if you're down with the nomenclature. This is the weakest of the first three. There's still some good stuff in here. Like, there's some great moments to it. But I think when we got to the special editions, this is also the one that they're most, like, throw Cy Snoodles singing a song into it.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is the one that suffered the most from a special edition.
Well, I mean, New Hope with the Jabba the Hutt sequence is really bad. With
Han walking over him.
Yeah. But
imagine that scene extended out over, like, a musical interlude with a dance break from an alien.
When I think Return of the Jedi, I think the original movie. That sequence and Boba Fett tapping his gun to the music and
and even from there, like, the other big things that they added in were with the Sarlacc pit. It's like a beak that's coming out of it now so it's like a Venus flytrap almost. I didn't need that. It can just be like a pit with like the tentacles and like there's teeth in it. That was fine. Like, you don't need to add more to
all it. All the planets celebrating at the end.
That I actually liked, because that was our first glimpse of Coruscant, that was cool because it's like, oh yeah, that's Coruscant. Like, even like the Empire's home planet is like, woo, we did it. You guys did nothing.
We learned in Andor that they did a lot because she's there. Mon Mothma is doing the work.
I do like the celebration on like all the planets. I do lament the loss of the Yub Nub song though. So
there's been,
they get a plus, they get a minus.
Yeah. But okay, so you guys are talking about the first special edition, because in later home releases after the prequels, they added not only Coruscant, but also Naboo and other planet and Bespin and other planet. I think
Bespin was there in like the original special edition.
I think the first,
with like the cloud car.
Yeah, it might have been Bespin and just Coruscant. But they added Naboo later on, and I'm not sure if they added another planet as well.
That sounds about right. These are all movies that I've watched so many times that I have not gone back to rewatch them.
And you haven't gone back to rewatch all history. The different versions of them.
Yeah, but again, some of these, you cannot watch older versions unless you have that older physical media version. Yeah.
Well, they did release DVDs of the original trilogy, because I remember borrowing them from Randy when I first started dating Caitlin, because she had never seen Star Wars. And I borrowed the original one, and she was like really bored during New Hope.
I had that same experience.
I should have I should have got the special editions because they're so much more popular. They would have kept her attention.
But I've had a similar experience showing Star Wars to someone who had never seen it. And it's so like mimetic where it's like something happens and you look over like, eh? And there's like on the phone like, yeah. And it's like, no, that's Obi-Wan talking about the Clone Wars. Like, that's him like saying like, but it doesn't matter because he didn't grow up with it.
Yeah, and you're not watching it for the 70th time and now catching everything, because, you know, even as a kid, I probably didn't pay attention to all of it. I just waited for the cool scenes, you know?
Yeah.
But then I see Luke on constantly.
You want to see Luke fight Vader. You want to see Obi-Wan cut that dude's arm off in the bar. Like, yeah.
I was a kid. I didn't know how to fast forward.
I think, again, for our initial purposes, I think Return of the Jedi is B. And there's some good stuff in this movie, but I do also think it suffers from a lot of just like George Lucas, like, oh, I'm making a family movie, so I gotta put something in for the kids. So Wicket's gonna eat the candy bar, but they're gonna become friends. And we're gonna spend so long like zipping through these California redwood forests as like, okay. The fastest part of the movie also is what makes it drag for me. Like the speeder bike chase, mm-hmm. Cool, but it doesn't need to be that long.
I think this is a tier behind.
Yeah.
New Hope.
Yeah, it's a tier.
I will accept behind New Hope.
There's
some good stuff in here. Like, I think
when somebody says Star Wars to me, these are the three movies I think of.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you ask me Star Wars, I instantly think of like so much stuff. I don't know if like I'm gonna think of like Return of the Jedi in the middle of that. Like
these three movies at their core are what made me a Star Wars fan. Like these movies, I feel like, yes, the three of them are at different stages good, but these three at their core are what made me, and they're kind of together. Like I really feel these are all together as a solid one. Like
that's okay, because I mean they're all similarly bunched. I think these three are the movies, like when we ask that question, is it a Star Wars, like these movies answer yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because now we're gonna fast forward a little bit, because man, we got Return of the Jedi in like 1983. We're gonna jump ahead to 1998 with Star Wars, The Phantom Menace. We're getting that original buildup, the introduction and downfall of one Anakin Skywalker. Man, I can't wait for you guys to see what's going to happen.
Announcing Duel of the Fates on TRS Live.
He's a little kid. He's terrible. So there's some good stuff in here, but
I think this is C.
Yeah, I have this as C myself.
I would also say this is C. Not to say there's not anything good in this, because I do think we need to like still talk about this. Like we can't just be like, all right, C, moving on. I think the promise of what we were going to get with the prequel trilogy and what the execution and actuality of it was kind of stung a little bit.
I really think if they had hired a older actor to play Anakin.
I disagree, because I don't remember his name, but there's like a
Jake something.
No, there's a YouTube documentary about another kid who was up for the role of Anakin, and it came down to like it was between him and Jake Lloyd where they were going with. And the other kid got it. Like there's the screen test between him and Natalie Portman, where it's like he's talking about, I can't remember the scene, but it's like him and like,
are you an angel?
No, it's not that one. I'm blanking on the lines, but it's basically like,
I'm not a slave, I'm a person. Does that line?
No, it's not that one. It's I can't remember the line, and I hate this because I'm going to be stuck on it for so long. But it's the Jake Lloyd delivery of it. I was like, oh, and then the kid who was also up for the role, his take on it was like a more haunted, like he knows where Anakin's going to become Darth Vader. And it's like, no, I would. Like, it's like a calm, cold, like, oh, I can see it like brewing there. And then George Lucas is like, oh, I like the little kid. Like, and like there could have been so much more that we got out of this. And I'm going to need to send it to you guys because, like, seeing, like, the screen test for him, like, why didn't we get that kid? And, again, nothing against Jake Lloyd. I know he's had a hard life. He has retired from acting since then. If you want to see him in something else, hey, check out the holiday classic. Not Last Action Hero. It's the others.
Yeah, Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way because he's the kid in that. He wants the Turbo Man. Anakin is so distracting through all of this movie, and everything you did not like about the special edition of the original trilogy is here and ramped up. Like, Paul, you were talking about the pod racing with like the dual headed Greg Proops alien. No, like the pod racing scene was cool enough. Like, we didn't need that. Did you talk about that?
No.
I thought you mentioned. Okay, I'm sorry.
Previous Star Wars conversation. Yeah. One of the things I thought was really interesting, Ron Howard was approached by George Lucas to direct this movie.
Hmm.
And Ron Howard is the person that talked George Lucas into directing these movies. And I think Ron Howard did everyone a disservice.
But then he realized that he came back later to try to do so. I was like, nope, I'm not going to do that again.
Because I think these movies would have been... I think George Lucas is a brilliant idea man. Comes up with great ideas. But he needs to tell somebody their ideas, and then somebody else needs to write them down for him. And he needed somebody like his ex-wife was the person who would be like, no, George... You shouldn't do that. You should do this. And because
she was editing the movie. So she was the one that would have to be like, I got to clean this up now.
Exactly. And it was like, she was a lot of the, no, George, I think we should do this. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have anybody to say no to him during these movies. Because everybody was George Lucas' yes men that were around him.
Yeah.
And that's why you had his own self-editing when it came to the next movie. Everybody hated Jar Jar Binks, so the next movie, no Jar Jar Binks, no quote-unquote Jar Jar Binks. But I think, you know, like, he needs people to tell him no or take his idea and make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs somebody the same way to direct. George Lucas directed, like, 3 movies and then didn't direct anything for over... like almost 2 decades.
Yeah.
And then directed these 3 movies. And I think these 3 movies could have been better with better directing, and also could have been better without just everything being shot on green screen.
And I also think someone else writing the dialogue, like if he had come up with like the plot and the story and like someone else took over the actual like screenwriting for it, it could have been better. Because when I was trying to remember the kid's name, Ben Proudfoot, I sent you guys the mini documentary because I found it. So many of the lines that make this movie like kind of cringy and very meme-y, it's because the dialogue is just so stilted and doesn't work. And that's something that we're going to see continued on through the rest of the prequel trilogy here. Are you an angel? I'm going to try spinning. That's a good trick.
Wizard,
it's working. Like, it's not fantastic. And again, there's some good stuff in this, like Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi, like fantastic, saves this movie. I'd say Natalie Portman as Amidala, like fantastic, like she brings a weight to this like child elected queen. I still don't understand how things work on Naboo, okay, whatever.
Even Liam Neeson as the mentor to Obi-Wan has good parts in it.
Yeah.
And Darth Maul is total badass.
Darth Maul is fantastic. Such a great villain. And this is one of the things, like, what we had in a lot of Star Wars that we haven't kind of talked about is, like, that revisionist history where, like, things were done and then it's like, oh, no, we need to circle back because this is something people liked, so how can we continue on with it? Because that's why we got that revisionist history and bringing back of Darth Maul, because it's like, no, you had a fantastic, amazing villain. You killed him off.
He doesn't say anything.
In episode...
Like, he's just got like two lines.
Well, at last we'll reveal ourselves to the Jedi. And then you bring in Christopher Lee in episode two, who, Count Dooku, good villain, but like, he's not a great Sith like we had with Vader, like we have with Palpatine, or we have with Darth Maul in the movie before. Like,
well, the menace isn't quite there.
Even if you think about Dooku, so Dooku, the only reason you think he's cool is because he beat Obi-Wan and Anakin, because he shows up towards the end of the movie, doesn't really have much to say, gets caught in his lie, captures him, has that fight, and then in the beginning of the next movie, he's decapitated right in the beginning. Like,
right away.
Like, he is, like, quote-unquote, like, a cool character, but I think most of that is from, like, the Clone Wars cartoon, where you're like, oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, I feel like Star Wars, George Lucas doesn't really learn from his mistakes, because he says it was a mistake that if he knew he was going to make more movies, he wouldn't have blown up the Death Star in the first one. So he has to make a second Death Star for the third movie for the climactic ending again, because, you know, that's how it is. So, and then Darth Maul gets introduced and killed off right away. And then they're like, okay, we're not going to make that same mistake again. We're going to introduce a new villain. He's going to be great. Count Dooku, here we go. And then, hey, he survived a movie. I was very excited. And then, you know, third movie comes out, boom. But now we're getting on to a whole, like, prequel thing and not taking it movie by movie. Yeah, I think
the best thing about episode one is on YouTube, and it's the uncut lightsaber battle between Darth Maul and Obi-Wan and Guy Quan-Jin. I watched that online and then went, oh, man, I should rewatch that movie. And then I watched the movie, and that fight scene is cut up. With all that,
because it's Anakin fighting
Anakin flying in the spaceship, which is so annoying, because you have this amazing fight between these guys.
And online, it's set to Offspring.
that's the problem too, because again, Darth Maul is such a great villain. And thank you for bringing up the Duel of the Fates, because amazing song. Like, I remember that music video. Being on MCU, it was such a deal. And the fight scene, like, with, like, Darth Maul, like, pacing back and forth with, like, those force fields. And then, like, you have Qui-Gon, like, sitting there, like, meditating quietly. And then you have, like, just, like, that younger Obi-Wan, like, I need to get in this. Like, I have to help. Like, just that earnestness and, like, I don't want to say, like, anxiousness, but like he's like, I have to be there to help my master. And as soon as like the doors open, like boom, it's on again. Like he's stuck there again. And like it's such a good fight scene, because not just the choreography, but like the character moments that you see from each of like those three main people involved in it, like they're all done so well. And that's the promise that we had with the prequels. And I feel like that's the only time it was delivered in Phantom Menace. Because I think there's better stuff in the next two. But so many people were soured from Phantom Menace that it...
Yeah.
Again, I went to see Phantom Menace the night that it was released. Like, my mom was also a Star Wars fan. We went to the midnight showing for Phantom Menace. And I got to be off from school the next day. Like, the coolest thing my mom has ever done besides... you know, raising me in her own image as a huge Uber nerd. But like my mom being like, no, we're going to go see Star Wars tonight. You're not going to school tomorrow. amazing. And the next time I went to school and having to be like, I'm a Star Wars fan, I feel like I need to defend this movie, even though, like, I myself at like too young of an age, like, could not deal with like how I was handling and processing it. Like, cause I felt like I needed to like it because it was more Star Wars. It was the first new Star Wars we had had in so long that wasn't a word book, which was also exciting for me because I was reading all that expanded universe stuff, but this was real Star Wars.
My aunt came and picked me up. I left school early. She picked me up and we went to Quaker Crossing to see.
That's where I saw it. The Regal there.
Yeah. And that's where I saw it. But I got out of school early to see that. Paul, Phantom Menace. Did you see that in the theaters?
Yeah, yeah. A group of us, like, starting in high school, like, we all went and got, like, during the re-releases during 97, we went and got tickets at, I think, the McKinley Mall to go see it, see those movies there. And then, like, that same group, like, we all just, like, gave people money. Like, who can get there? Who can get there to get buy tickets? Like, we would all just give money during school, and then whoever could get buy the tickets would go get the tickets, and then we would have to figure out rides later.
I can't wait to talk about our experience of seeing the next movie in the theaters.
Yeah,
because that was one of the first times we got to hang out with Paul. Like, that's where, like, the basis of our friendship and this podcast came from. Wow, amazing.
Yeah, and that's why.
And that's why this one's an F.
I have it set as a B.
I would agree. I think this one has a little bit more going for it because we are now out of the younger, like, precocious little scamp Anakin, and we're now into, like, an older, like, Hayden Christensen Anakin. And I think the aged up Anakin is a little bit more palatable, and, like, you kind of you believe him and Obi-Wan are not just, like, working together. Like, they're kind of starting to, like, to develop that brotherhood. Like, there's the scene in, like, the elevator where they're kind of, like, elbowing each other, and there's still some not great things in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But there's still some gold, and this is where we, like, the Boba Fett was the clone of Jango Fett, who was the template for the Stormtrooper clones, because, yes, they're all clones. It's not revisionist, like, okay, yeah, they're not just people. Like, we're going to redub all of the Stormtroopers now to have Temuera Morrison's voice. But we also have to rig in another bounty hunter because people like the bounty hunters. So here's
Boba Fett's dad.
Sam Wessel,
too. Yeah.
That's going to be there to put, like, like, the killer sneaks into Amidala's room. Oh, never mind. Anakin killed them. She's safe. I think a lot of this is like, oh, well, this is what people want from a Star Wars, so we're going to put it in there. And that doesn't work, but the beats are there that make this an interesting movie. And again, it's Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor. Like, they drive this movie forward.
I enjoy all the Obi-Wan stuff in this movie. Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan, boy detective, like, it's fun. And even he has those moments where he's like, I found this thing. This isn't right. I got to detect. I'm going to talk to my friend who runs the
Dex.
He's a cook in a diner. I'm gonna go and talk to one of the masters who's gonna make me look a fool in front of all these kids.
Master Obi-Wan has lost a planet he has.
Like, yeah, it's like, shut up, you're gonna die in next movie, kid. but
it's not gonna be there to save him.
Yeah. And did you guys see, there was somebody, I just saw online, somebody was saying, like, the reason, like, one of George Lucas's original ideas was to have the guy who was the cook, you said his name,
Dexter Jetster.
He's actually Grievous, that he had been killed and brought back because he's got four arms. The guy did a better job of explaining it. I was like, it's a great theory, but
is it a great theory?
He did a good job explaining it. It was fun.
Doesn't make it a great theory.
It is. But I actually I really like Attack of the Clones. I have fun with Attack of the Clones. Yeah. I don't think it's, yes, B, I think, is the proper place for it to be, because it is probably out of the prequels, I kind of like it the best.
Okay.
I have fun with this. There's good moments between, there's good moments between Anakin and
Padme,
but there aren't. Oh, those are rough.
I don't like come on,
they talk about sand. It's coarse. It gets everywhere. I mean, which again, for the memes, this is a S tier. But because now, anytime anybody mentions sand, you'd be like, sand.
Kate hates it when I do those lines.
But the battle at the end, like there's
battle Genosis, there's, so good.
Yeah,
there's lots in this movie that I really like.
Yeah, there's some good stuff here. I don't think it's the worst of the prequel movies. I don't think it's the best of the prequels, because I have to say that's probably saved for the next one for me at least. But there's some good stuff here, like you said, Obi-Wan, boy detective. Even just his fight scene on Kamino with Jango Fett, like, that's cool. Like, you get to see, like, that's the first time you see a Mandalorian doing something cool, because the only time we saw Boba Fett in the original trilogy, he's standing there looking menacingly, and then the next movie, he gets hit by mistake and then flies into the Sarlacc pit. So Jango Fett, like, okay, that's them showing, like, no, Mandalorians can be cool, like, he's taken down a character that you know and love, like a character you've loved for like 40 years now at this point.
Yeah. And he's cool. The double blasters.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Like the silver armor. Like it looks cool. Revenge of the Sith though, John, if Attack of Clones is your favorite of the prequels, where does Revenge fall then for you? Cause
Revenge is also B.
Okay.
But below,
I think, I will say, if you guys want it ahead of Attack of the Clones, I won't fight for Attack of the Clones to be there. But I think Revenge is a lot of whiny Anakin that then goes dark, and when he goes dark, that half of the movie is probably what I kind of like the most, because You have that big battle at the end, which is a great knockout, drag out battle between the two of them. The beginning of the movie, the stuff on the spaceship is really good, but the middle of this movie, I don't necessarily love or want.
I would agree. I think the back third of this movie is what really sells it for me, because I do like that Obi-Wan and Anakin stuff. I like, basically it's like from the execution of Order 66 onward, that's where I'm like all in on this movie. Master Skywalker, there's too many of them, what do we do? Like, it's to the point where if I get a receipt and I'm waiting in line for my Wendy's, I'm like, Order 65, so close. Like, I'm it's great. I really like this one. I probably would have put it high B. So Paul, you'll probably be the tiebreaker at this point if it's going to be above Attack or below, because
I understand, I think there's what enough saying. There's depth. A lot of fun in Attack of the Clones. There is a little bit of schlog that goes on in the middle of Revenge, but for me, I have Revenge as an A tier. Like, okay. I think it's a lot of fun. when Anakin says, "This is when the fun begins," I'm in. I'm there. I'm trying to think of the middle part that slows down.
Okay, you're thinking about when it's the attack on Kashyyyk and Yoda meets Chewbacca. He's like, "Thank you, Tarful. Thank you, Chewbacca." It's like, "Oh, we didn't need this." Like that didn't have to happen. Mm-hmm.
So, no, I do enjoy this one. It helps redeem the rest of the prequels. It is the most Star Wars of the Star Wars.
And I will say, originally, when these movies came out, mm-hmm. Revenge was my number.
Yeah.
That was my number one out of these. But over the years and going back and rewatching these and basically just rewatching Clones and Return.
You're fine with that.
I there's just something I enjoy a little bit more about the fun of Attack of the Clones
than he's that. Dropping and, his lightsaber break, you know, it's like, oh, Obi-Wan's gonna kill me.
But I totally understand, and like I said, I'm fine with Revenge being over that. But I do have to say, like, Revenge of the Sith, I think is B. It isn't.
No, I'm okay.
Don't see it as an A tier.
High B, because that's kind of where I was going to have it anyways. I could be swayed into putting this into A tier because I think that back third of it is fantastic. Like it's what brings us into the original trilogy, and I think it does it in like a powerful and intriguing way. Like just the passing off of Luke to Brew and Owen Lars, and then like Leia going to Jimmy Smith. Like there's that's like, okay, like here we go. This is where the fun begins. Like
we're about to get it. For our tier, I can't put it even with A New Hope or Return of the Jedi. If we were to move up Revenge of the Sith, those two would also need to be bumped up as well then.
Mm. Yeah. I think I'm happy with what this looks like right now.
So we're almost halfway through this, so I think this is a good time to take a beer break. Paul is sitting it out, unless you decided, like, I'm going to live forever.
Nope.
No? Okay. John, why don't you go first, because I based my beer off of what you had.
So from Duclaw Brewing Company, out of their Pastry Archy series, I have an Imperial Stout coming in 8.5%, and this is Vietnamese style coffee stout, and this is disappointing.
Oh, that's sad.
So I think Vietnamese coffee, I think deep, rich, creamy,
so, like coffee,
and this is just a coffee stout, okay. And not like a great coffee stout, you know, like Al Smith Speedway Stout, one of the best coffee stouts, you know, you can get. Mm. Breakfast Stout, Founders,
yeah,
another one. And this doesn't come close. It hides the 8.5% extremely well. Like, it's very easy drinking, and you wouldn't know it's 8%. But it's just missing the rich creaminess, especially part of their Pastry-archy, where you think it's going to be decadent.
Yeah. Vietnamese coffee, like, I've only had, I think, maybe once or twice. I remember being just, like, very rich. Like, it would need to be, like, a nitro can, I think, like, just to give, like, that tiny bubble, like, nice smoothness. But then also just, like, rounded sweetness to it.
Picture on the can of the coffee makes you
think
that this is going to be decadent. And it's unfairly, it's just a coffee stout. It is a good coffee stout, but there are better coffee stouts. And again, like, this is like a $14-$15 four pack, 8% coffee stout. So it's like, okay, I'm not getting robbed by this beer, but I would have been happier, and I think anyone who bought this beer $2 cheaper, a smaller bottle, you know, 16 ounce to a 12 ounce bottle. But for $12 or $13.99, Founders, you know, breakfast stout is a better coffee stout.
I also picked up a Duclos. This is actually a porter, but this is the Sweet Baby Java, and it's an espresso bean infused chocolate peanut butter porter, because I couldn't find the Vietnamese coffee stout. Peanut butter is all on the nose. Like, it has that peanut butter richness. You get, like, that chocolate note there, too. But on the palate, it's all just that espresso coffee bean flavor, which isn't bad. Like, it is a good coffee, but I'm not getting anything of that, like, peanut butter richness. It's maybe, like, a subtle peanut butter, like, starchiness, but the chocolate's not there. Maybe a little bit, but it's mostly overpowered by the espresso beans. This is 6.2% ABV. I haven't had this in 7 years. 7 years ago when I had it, I put it at a 3.5 out of 5 on Untappd. I don't think I can bump this up or down. Like, is it an espresso chocolate peanut butter porter? Yeah, it hits all those notes in different, like, orders. None of them ever work together, though. I'm fine with having bought, like, one can of this. If I had had more of them, it would have been something to find to sit and drink while I'm playing games or reading comics or word books or whatever. But as is, like, I'm fine with this. And if I have it in another 7 years, I'll probably manage my expectations a little bit more.
And this is a year-round beer from them.
I feel like I don't see this that often, though.
This is on my shelf. Side by side with Sweet Baby Jesus.
So is it year round or is it just sitting there for
a year? No, it's year round. It's part of their, like, it's part of their line. And then they do the variants of this beer. Like, they just had a raspberry version. So it was PB.
I feel like a raspberry version of this would have been better. I have raspberry, like, syrup in my cupboard because I bought, like, a bottle of the raspberry syrup for coffee. I might add a splash to that to see how it jazzes it up. Because I'm probably going to take a restroom break while Paul introduces our next one.
I just wanted to say, like, there's many things that my wife was introduced to in her life when she started dating me. But one of her probably happiest moments was me mixing Sweet Baby Jesus with Lineman's raspberry. And oh, like, yeah, that's peanut butter. It's peanut butter and jelly, baby. Like, check this out. And her being like, I love peanut butter. I love raspberry lambic. You've just blown my mind. This is amazing.
I can't remember the last time I actually just had a bottle of, like, a lambic.
Yeah.
Sitting around. Like, I enjoy it, but I just don't ever pick it up. So that might be on the list.
But yeah, Paul, maybe that's what I'll do for my birthday beer.
But next on the list,
Star Wars: The Clone Wars,
because this did come out
animated
in the
theatrical release. Dave Filoni. Is it Dave Filoni directed? I don't remember, but yeah, this is which launches the Cartoon Network series Star Wars: The Clone Wars, not to be confused with the Samurai Jack created creator Star Wars: The Clone Wars. This is the series that happens after, that was released after Revenge of the Sith, unlike the Samurai Jack one that was released before. This is quite a few years after Revenge of the Sith as well. So this is the one that I would put lowest. I put it at D. I refuse to give it an F tier just because of what comes after. Without this, we wouldn't get the series, and that series introduces Ahsoka Tano, who becomes one of the best Star Wars characters. So I have to put it as a D myself. John, what are you thinking?
I saw this once. I do not remember really anything about this movie. I feel like I don't have enough to.
You want me to give you a quick summary?
No.
Okay.
But I don't feel like I could grade it anything. So if you're saying this is a D, I will trust that. Chris is nodding his head. Yes. Like, it's one of those ones that I think we all saw it in the theater together.
I did not see this until I think it was on Cartoon Network, or maybe I saw it streaming somewhere, because I never saw like the actual movie. I saw it broken up into like the first four episodes of the Clone Wars cartoon, and I was like, this is not for me. And it wasn't until like later that I heard how good Clone Wars was that I went back into it and was like, oh, this is kind of painful. And I think it was around like season three where Clone Wars kind of got good.
Yeah, what's weird now is if you go online and you're watching Clone Wars on Disney Plus, there's an actual episode guide to actually put everything in order, because this movie would actually not be the first couple episodes of the Clone Wars now. It would actually go like, it's like episode five. You'd watch the first five episodes or something like that. And also season two episodes are mixed in. It's a mess. If you want to watch like a more chronological.
So this, again, I cannot go back and rewatch the early episodes of Clone Wars, because it's much more made for kids than me as a Star Wars fan who was like in my late teens, early 20s. As I get further removed from that, like, I still can't go back in. This reminds me of that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles computer animated movie, the CMNT one.
Yeah.
Like, where it's like, oh, no, this is, like, in the universe that you know and love, because that movie takes place in, like, the live-action Ninja Turtles movie universe, but it's not up to snuff for it.
Yeah. We get some great characters. We get Asajj Ventress introduced.
We get Ahsoka Tano.
Ahsoka Tano.
Ahsoka isn't really her yet.
Yeah, like, she's, but that's the thing. Like, I don't like Ahsoka until like season three. Like, that's where this.
She doesn't have the dual blades yet.
Like, I this is something. If you're watching all of the Star Wars movies, you would probably skip it because you might not think of it. And like, I forgot that this was technically a Star Wars movie until I pulled up the Tear Maker and it's like, oh yeah, that's right. That did come out in theaters. Like, that is, it is canon, like Dave Filoni, but he's gone on to do so much better stuff. And he has redeemed Ahsoka in such a way that I feel like if he could go back and redo this, it would be a completely different movie.
No, because
we don't need like them going off to save like Jabba's nephew. Like, that is not a Star Wars.
But Ahsoka is supposed to be annoying. Like, that's her character arc. You're supposed to not like her because she's brash. She thinks she knows everything.
I know that's the hook, because like, oh, that's Anakin's Padawan. Like,
yeah.
Get it? Yeah. But you don't have to make the character unlikable. Like, I feel like there were better ways to probably show that. Like, have her be impulsive, have her be young and meaning well and like thinking she's on top of the world, but like still have her likable, because she's just not.
Yeah.
And that says something, because she's literally one of my favorite Star Wars characters, but this is nigh unwatchable now.
But I refuse to put it as an F tier because of, you know, all the good that comes later.
Yeah. John, why don't you kick us off with the next one, which is again much similar to Phantom Menace, the first Star Wars that we got in forever.
Which one is this? I can't read the thing.
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. I think this is B tier. My wife's sneaking in to startle me as I sing this. I think Force Awakens. I really enjoy Force Awakens. It's the only one of the new trilogy that I think is actually really good and I enjoy, and it has some fun to it. But I don't think it's A tier. I think it goes in that B tier. Because this sets up a lot of stuff that's like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm really looking forward to this, these Star Wars movies that are going to come out. And then disappointment upon disappointment with the next two movies.
I mostly agree, because I like the characters. I like the actors that they have in here. I think there's so much good in here. And where it stumbles is it's such a retread of what we had in Star Wars before. Mm-hmm. Because it became the same thing. It's like, well, this is what people expect of a Star Wars. And it's kind of emblematic of like that prequel culture that we're in now. It's like, oh, well, you liked Ghostbusters as a kid. We're going to give you the same Ghostbusters now, but everyone's older in it. That doesn't necessarily make it a good movie, but like it still hits some of those notes. So you're like, all right, I like it because it's familiar. It's like a nostalgia bomb. And I think what I liked about Force Awakens is it did have enough new alongside that old that I was like, okay, I'm in. Because yeah. I like Rey. I like Finn. I like Poe. I love Kylo Ren as a villain. Like, there's enough good stuff here that I did want to see where it went. For me, I think I would put this probably, for our current tier list, mid-B, probably behind Revenge of the Sith, but before Attack of the Clones. John, you kicked it off, so where would this fall for you?
I'm fine with that.
Okay, because I think you're the biggest Attack of the Clones defender right now.
Yeah, and I if you sat these three movies down in front of me, I would probably watch Force Awakens over these.
Okay.
Like, I've also had, almost 20 years, over 20 years to have watched those other two movies, and I've seen them enough where I've probably seen this movie three times, maybe.
Okay, I think I've seen it maybe like a couple more, like not a lot. Like
I would say five or six for me.
I would say probably like four to five, like safe estimate. There's good stuff in this. Like I like the universe. I kind of lament not seeing that fall of the New Republic, because again, it does feel so rehashy where we're seeing First Order already in power, and like now we're seeing like these spunky new recruits. I think seeing like that hubris and the New Republic falling probably would have been a more interesting introduction to this like next chapter.
But you get it so much like in Ahsoka and in those other,
but at the time this came out, like all of that that wasn't even like a thought yet. Like,
no, I know, but
that's them trying to make sense of this. Like, okay, well, how can we cover that ground? Because I there's so much good stuff here on that base level, but where they start off with that, just like, yeah, you guys will like a Star Wars. This is the first one you've had in a minute. Like, you're welcome. Yeah, I bought into it. Like, I was working at Disney when this came out, and this was actually where they launched like their Force Friday, because it was going to be like, all right, here's where we're putting out that entire first wave of merchandise. Again, I worked at Disney and I wasn't allowed in our back room where we had all of the merchandise in boxes out of fear of people like cracking open those boxes and taking pictures of like the characters and the product, because they didn't want anything getting out. And that, you know, a little intense, like in retrospect, but looking at it at the time, it was like, no, this is a big deal. Like, this was huge.
We saw this midnight show, Caitlin and I, at the drive-ins. They did a drive-in thing, so we went and saw it in our car. Like, kind of, because it came out like towards December, so it was kind of snowing out. Like, It was really kind of cool to see it at the drive-ins.
I saw this at the Universal Studios City Walk AMC Theater. And when I went to go buy my ticket for it, because I was going to the first showing opening day, my credit card came up declined. And I was like, oh, that's weird. So as I was going to call my bank, I had like the fraud department calling me because someone had gotten my credit card number and was trying to make a purchase at like a Home Depot or something for like $600. And I got flagged and I was like, no, that's not me. And they're like, okay, well, we're going to shut your card off. We'll send you a replacement. And I literally had to be like, well, can you just leave it open for like 10 minutes so I can go take money out? Because I had to go to the ATM by the Universal Studios City Walk concierge station, mm-hmm. so I could get cash to go buy my ticket to go see Force Awakens. And that's one of those like weird moments that is going to forever live in my head, because like I'm like, just keep my card open for a while so I can get cash because I need to see the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, also, it's going to take, you know, 5 business days for this card to come.
7-10 days. I couldn't wait that long to see Star Wars. Come on, I'm a nerd.
What, am I supposed to go to a bank? Like, I got a checkbook somewhere that I've never used?
But here's the thing. At that time, I was not fresh to Orlando, but I had been living here for a little bit, but I still hadn't changed my bank over. I still had KeyBank, which does not have branches down here because all my banking is digital. So there's no branch close by that I could go to get like a replacement card on that day or take money out. So I was like, whoa, like I gotta see my Star Wars, baby. So they did it, and then like a week and a half later I got my card. But yeah, that I remember that moment forever now.
Good. Yeah, I have it higher on my list just because I think it's a lot of fun. It's Star Wars, and I just love the Finn stuff, like, we'll use the Force. And Han Solo's like, that's not how the Force works. I just like all the little bit of jabs.
Chewie, we're home. I mean, that during that trailer, it gave me goosebumps. During the movie, it gave me goosebumps. I'm fine with putting this over, like, the number one in the B slot.
Okay. So top of the B before Revenge.
Yeah.
I do think that's when you just brought it up, where it's like Han and Chewie have like their like even more broke down spaceship, and like they're being raided by like the raiders. And it's like, no,
Kanja Club.
I had your money. I gave it to Kanja Club, and like Kanja Club shows up, and they're like, we talked to Kanja Club, and like the other guys walk up in the helmets, and like Han's just like, shit, like I can't lie. I do like this. I still have my diecast Force Awakens, bought on Force Friday, Poe, Rey, and Finn action figures sitting on my Star Wars shelf. So yeah, top of the B tier, I think, does work for this. We're going to take a break from our Star Wars saga now, though, because we got our first Star Wars story with Rogue One.
What a good story it is. A
Star Wars story. Which this is, again, jumping forward, backwards in the Star Wars timeline, where this is actually telling the tale of the group of rebel spies who stole the Death Star plans leading up to Episode 4. Guys, this is my favorite Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this movie so much. I love the characters. I love that kind of like Dirty Dozen feeling to it, where it's just people coming together, like all based just off of one thing. They hate the Empire and what it's become, and they're going to do what they need to do to make sure it doesn't become something more. And you know, right from the get-go, because yeah, this is a story that takes place in a fixed point in time. We don't hear anything about these characters after this movie. So everybody's got to go. Spoilers for 2016 Star Wars Rogue One. You know it's coming, but seeing some of these characters go is painful. Like, there's moments of hurt in this movie because Donnie Yen's Chirrut Imwe, like the Force-sensitive monk, like walking across like the blaster battlefield, like, to hit that switch that's going to turn off the shield generator. Yeah, that dude's not going to last, but, like, you want to see him make it happen, and then it doesn't dull that hurt, like, when he goes down. I love this movie. This is S tier for me.
Yeah. This is S tier as well.
I agree. There's so much in this movie, and yeah, it's one of those things, like, I remember after the trailer had dropped, and Chris, I don't know if you said it on the podcast or it was just us talking, but I just remember you saying, like, well, everybody's got to die, right? And then me taking that moment and go, yeah, they do have to die. And then in the movie, when everyone dies, I was like, yeah, they did it right. Like,
yeah.
There's no way that the... Because they have that moment of, like, what these people had to do to get these plans. Like, they have that moment of, like, these people, like, gave their lives to do this, to get us this. And it did need that. And I know everyone likes to poo-poo the de-aging of all those characters, of Leia and that. Like,
I don't fault the technology at the time. Like, they did what they had to do, and it doesn't take too much away from those moments. Like, you know, them giving the plans to Leia at the end, and it's like, oh, what do you have? It's like, oh, hope. Like, I think if you had just shown Tarkin in, like, reflection on the glass, it could have worked a little bit more. But, you know, Tarkin was overseeing the building of the Death Star. It makes sense that he would have to be there. Mads Mikkelsen's character, what's that dude's name?
Galen Erso?
Yeah. Wait, no. Galen Erso, that was...
Oh, you want director credit?
Krennic. Yeah, who's... Oh, my gosh. That's not Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, the Australian actor. I mean, I could just pull it up.
Here. At my moment of victory.
Yeah, Orson Krennic. I love that dude. The guy that's just stuck. You know, we love the Darth Vader comic because it's Darth Vader middle management. I love that dude just trying to be like, no, like, this is my project. This is what I'm working on. And, like, him just be, like, completely undercut by...
Mendelsohn.
Yeah.
Ben Mendelsohn.
He was a Skrull, yeah. I just love him being, like, completely undercut by Grand Moff Tarkin. It's like, oh, yes, thank you for everything you've done. We'll be overseeing this for now. Like, I get that. And that's what I like about the Andor show, when we talk about this in a year from now. Like,
yeah,
just, like, that inter-empire politics that you start to see here, because it's everybody just looking out for themselves.
And Forrest Whitaker is Saw Gerrera.
Yes, who came up to the mind flayer? I do boogly. Like him. Like, it's cool. Oogly boogly. Whatever Paul just said. I don't know.
But, Cassian Andor is one of those people that just everybody loved coming out of this. And, yeah, give him a show on Disney Plus, and then have that show one of the best things that has ever come out of Star Wars. Like,
Cassian Andor doing, like, the dirty, like, wet work stuff, like, planet side.
And then
everything about this movie, so good.
And then the fact that, like, they say, like, two seasons, you get the first season, you get the second season, and the second season ends where Rogue One starts. Sold me on that show, but then just what they did with that show just made it even better. Rogue One definitely is, after the original trilogy, is the best thing they've done in Star Wars until the TV stuff.
I don't think I cried, but I think my eyes welled up in tears when K2SO was, like, defending, like, trying to shut, like, the doors, like. And that's stupid. That's a droid. Like, I did not have that same reaction with C-3PO when we're coming up to one of the later movies. Yeah. Like, I think being stuck in that time frame, like, this movie has to take place between episode 3, episode 4, tell this story, actually work to the benefit of this movie. And it moves at a clip. The whole assault on, like, that, I can't remember, the Scarif, the beach planet, amazing, like, when they found, like, you have, like, the ships going down to the planet side, like, while the ships, or the
U-wings?
The shield generators open. Yeah, the U-wings, like, which are, like, basically, like, bomber, like, slash personnel transports, like, amazing. Seeing them going up against, like, those prototype, like, AT-ATs, like, I loved it. I want to watch it again, talking about it.
Why, there's no Blue Squadron.
Blue Squadron. And you... There's Red Squadron that goes, and Red 5 gets killed. That's why Luke's now Red 5 in A New Hope. Dug it. And even then, like, the fact that they used some of the deleted footage that wasn't used for A New Hope with, like, because it's, like, the same, like, squad it's the commander. Same actors,
yeah. It's a yellow leader, gold leader, and a red leader. Yep.
Awesome. So good. Next up, Star Wars Last Jedi. Movie that John hated that Paul and I were much more defending of.
I like it. I think it's A tier. If we're putting
I think Empire this Strikes is back, the worst
I
Star Wars movie ever made. I think everything about this movie
so
is
strongly.
Awful. I think this is a slap in the face for Star Wars fan. I think this is also the movie that everybody who was signed on to these movies realized that what they were told that was going to happen in these movies were pissed. Poe Dameron, Finn, Kylo Ren.
Poe was supposed to die in the first one.
Poe's supposed to die in the first one. They talked him into staying around because he signed on because he wasn't going to do these movies.
Right.
But Kylo Ren signed on because he was supposed to be an irredeemable character. He was supposed to go completely. You were supposed to follow him to the end of being dark. And he was supposed to die the villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what happens here. You see him manipulating the scene, being manipulated, and then manipulating everything, and then choosing.
This,
he has that moment.
Like, I can't even. I absolutely, without a doubt, hate this movie. I've gone back. I walked out of the theater going like, I don't know how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. And then talking to you guys and being like, okay, I can see what they're saying. When this movie came out, rewatching it and be like, no, this is bad. This is just all around bad. This is worse than Phantom Menace in my book. Like, this is D to F tier.
So why do you love Empire so much? Because it's basically a beat for beat retelling of Empire.
But it isn't, because you have a character who throws away his lightsaber and says, I'm not going to kill my father. You're not going to make me the villain. I have hope. I can find a way that I won't kill my father.
Right.
To then, I'm going to kill my nephew. I have no hope. I'm not going to redeem him. I'm gonna kill him. And then
that doesn't happen.
Run away.
That doesn't happen,
and
though.
And not be there.
He turns on his blade and then immediately
stops. He would never
turn
on his blade.
But he talks
and
about
even
that.
And the actor, Mark Hamill, says, I told them while making this movie, this is not what Luke Skywalker would be. This isn't Luke Skywalker.
This is a director who wanted to turn
a Star Wars movie on its ear, and they let him. And
I completely disagree, because they do address it in that same movie, John. He says, like, for that moment, he thought about it, and then he was like, no. And that's exactly when Kylo Ren wakes up and sees it, and then, like, lashes out. Like,
Luke Skywalker should never have gotten to that point.
Luke Skywalker got to that point with the fight with Vader, though. He's wailing on the guy.
And
then
that
finally
point,
accidentally slices his arm off.
That was Luke suffering a crisis of faith that he stopped himself in.
And then he runs away.
It was him realizing, like, no, I can't do this because I had that crisis of faith. I shouldn't be the person. Like, Luke stepping out, like, and I think you're attributing, like, the wrong thought to it, because it was Luke being like, no, like, I stuttered. I shouldn't be the steward for the next Jedi, because like I had that moment. I need to take a look at myself.
I think you were putting a lot of stuff into that, but
I don't, because that's what the movie says.
This should not be A. This should not be B.
That's what the movie says, though, John. That's not me putting anything on it. Like, that's literally what Luke says to Rey.
I failed because I was the great Luke Skywalker, and I didn't think I could fail.
I think this is the worst. I watched it twice, and I never need to see it again.
I watched it twice before, like, in theaters. Like, mm-hmm. I think everything that you're attributing to, like, oh, everyone was over it, came later after this movie. This movie was the promise of like, no, we're gonna do something different. We're gonna learn, we're gonna grow. And then we had the Colin Trevorrow like episode 9 that was supposed to come out, and then that fell through. And then they brought J.J. Abrams back that was like, we're gonna loop it back to what we were doing before. And I think that's where the next movie suffers, is because like he took everything that they were going and building towards and was like, nope, we're going to do what I wanted to do.
We introduced a new character that then gets completely sidelined in the next
one. Zori Bliss?
No. Rose Tico.
Oh, yeah. They completely like undercut her.
The opening scene, the bomber run is amazing. The battle for Crait is great. The training montage with Luke and Rey, the Force, we get the start of the Force dyad thing, and I love that in that movie. I was like, oh, because unfortunately I did watch a lot of stuff. I was so hyped coming into this. I'm like, oh, they're going to do the Great Jedi. They're not going to be like all the previews is like you destroy the past if you have to. I'm like, oh, they're going to do something completely new. The Jedi have failed. We're not going to be dark side or light side anymore. We're going to find a new way. And I was so hoping for that. And then how the movie turns, it's like, nope, he's irredeemable. He had his chance. They killed Snoke. Rey is like, come with me to the light side. He's like, no, come to me with the dark side. And they're just falling back into that pattern. The lightsaber, Rey doesn't get out unharmed. The lightsaber that she had, Luke's lightsaber, smashed. Or Anakin's lightsaber. It's great. That whole fight scene in the red room.
Yeah.
So much fun in this movie.
I don't think it's great. Like, I think the Canto Bite stuff is kind of where this movie
trips the Bespin up a little bit.
I don't know. I like the Bespin scenes more because it gave me Lando, who was like a conflicted character. Mm-hmm. And this DJ gives me DJ, who isn't really a conflicted character at all, because like he's the antithesis of Lando. Like, he's there to sell out those people because they're not his friends. Like, Lando sticks by, like he comes through.
No, the difference between DJ and Lando is Lando's deal keeps getting worse all the time.
DJ's gets better.
DJ's just gets a good deal, and that's not like
the money.
The First Order wouldn't do that. Like, that's one of my gripes. I'm like, no, we just saw the First Order blow up a whole system just for being like,
First Order should, after they
verified the information.
After they captured him, should have shot DJ.
Yeah. Been like, oh, thanks for the information, scum. And then, like, locked him up, like, put him right in the same line. Because that's the whole thing. Like, his whole message of, like, oh, good side, bad side, the only way to win is not to join. Yeah. But Star Wars is always about like, no, if you don't confront evil, evil will find you, and it will crush you, because it will not. The Empire does not matter, doesn't care about who joins up with them or not. You're all just a cog. You're all just grease to the wheels.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that in the years since this came out, you haven't come around to it, because I was hopeful. I thought like, coming back to it, you'd be like, no, you know what? It did set up something, and it's the failed promise of what we're supposed to get. And I think maybe if we had gotten that Colin Trevorrow one, which does sound like a much better story and better movie than we finally got with Rise of Skywalker, maybe that would have softened it, because I go into this with that, like, no, this is where this is where things are ramping up. This is where things are changing. And it did not, like, and that's not the fault of
the helmet.
I've said forever since these movies have come out that they should have one group of writers wrote all three movies. And then they hired directors to maybe put a spin on it, change some stuff here or there, tweak some stuff after the movies have come out, but had a start to finish for these three movies. But they had people start a movie, they handed it over to other people who changed it and took it one way, and then had to bring somebody back to what they thought was righting the ship and bringing it back. Mm. And I've had those conversations, and I've had that thing of like, well, everybody originally, when they walked out of Empire Strikes Back, walked out like, what a bummer. What, I can't believe they did that. Like, what is the next movie going to be like? And I walked out of this saying, like, I don't know how I feel about this. Boy, it's kind of a bummer. Then reading the things, how everybody walked out of Jedi being like, what a bummer. But I went back and I watched it. And I still don't like it. I liked it even less seeing it the second time, knowing the beats and knowing what was going to happen. And I just do not, like, I viscerally hate this movie.
Wow.
Like, I just do not like. And yes, it's got cool scenes. What is it? When she does the light speed into those cruisers to give them space, like, that's one of the coolest scenes, but like, that's great. The Red Room. Yeah. It's a great fight.
Yeah. That's the thing that, like, that was the moment in this movie where I was like, no, this is where everything's changing. Like, it's not going to be what you thought it was going to be based off of Force Awakens. And the fact that the next movie is just like, nope, it is. In fact, we're doing second Death Star again, except this time there's more of them. Like, that's.
Yeah.
So we'll wrap this one up because I think, now we got to move into the Rise of Skywalker. So, John, this is lower tier for you. Paul and I are ardent defenders of it, I think. So
I only have this as an A tier myself on my tier list behind Empire Strikes Back.
I would have this lower A or high B based on how I feel about it.
If we could put it at the lowest place. So if it's a low, if it's a high B.
That's better than a low A?
Because I think this is the best of the sequel trilogy. Because it's not rehashing what came before. Yes, it has tones of Empire. Like, it's, oh, things are getting dark. The light needs to come out from it. And it was setting that up. And then it just completely falls apart with the next movie because where they were going to go with it. Like, John, yes, to your point, like, there needed to be someone in charge of where it was going to go. I think that's where the communication broke down in the ending of this one to the handing off for what Rise of Skywalker was going to be. And that's why Rise of Skywalker, I think, is like my least favorite
Star Wars. I kind of like, I don't think it's good. I don't. But I had more fun with Rise of Skywalker, but I don't think it's a good movie.
But before we get to Rise of Skywalker, we did have Solo, A Star Wars Story, the second and last of the Star Wars stories come out. Didn't hate this movie. I think a lot of people actively dislike this one. I think it's fine.
I have fun with it. It's not great, but I mean, it's definitely above Phantom Menace. If you're going to put it in C.
Me putting it to C was just like to get it on the board because I think
it's a B.
I was one of the people that came to it and like, oh, this, I watched it the first time, like on Netflix.
It has a train heist in it, Paul. And I was like, love it.
The first heist was cool, but I'm like, what are they doing? This is silly. Like, I didn't love it. Then I came around to it, watching it again, and I've watched it four times now. Maybe just three.
I think I've watched it maybe three.
Three or four times. I guess I just watched it on the treadmill not too long ago.
I think I watched it like twice.
3 weeks ago, I watched it on the treadmill because I ran, was training for a half marathon. So
how did it go, Paul?
I did well. 2 hours, 26 minutes, and 25 seconds.
How many Star Wars is that?
That is one Solo. Okay.
I do think, like, I know why people dislike this movie, because it's answering questions that nobody asks. Like, oh, how did he become Han Solo? Well, the guy at the, was like, Han, like, family name, no name, Solo. How did he get his gun? Nobody cares. Oh, it was given to by Woody Harrelson. Okay.
How to get those pants in his vest.
Like, that stuff doesn't matter.
It's too much of a wink and a nod versus, like, the wink and a nod set. Like, oh, Red Five's gone. Like, okay, now we know that's how Luke gets to be Red Five. And these things were pretty quick. They weren't as bad as I kind of, like,
but it's kind of like taking the first 5 minutes of Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade, and stretching it out to 2 hours. Not to say there's not good stuff in this. Like, I like him meeting Chewbacca. And, like, it's Han trying to, like, speak Shuriwa, where he's like, I just push me into the column. Like, that's fine. Donald Glover as Lando, fantastic. I'm sad we still haven't gotten that Lando series yet, even though they're supposedly still working on it.
Like, the robot in it is also great.
Oh, L3T because it was leaked because Miller and Lord were going to make this more of a comedy before they were taken off of it, and then Ron Howard was brought on to kind of write the ship. And I think that's okay, because I can have fun with the Star Wars movie, but I don't need it to be like, oh, the droid's name is Leet. Get it? Like, I'm okay with
that. Kind of want to, after seeing their Spider-Verse.
But I think Spider-Verse is different from, like, telling the history of, like, an enfranchised Star Wars character. I mean, I understand the decision that Lucasfilm made. Like,
there's Spider-Verse already with the Lego movie.
Yeah, people responded to this poorly as it was, and it was still, after everything happened and the changes were made, it was still a pretty by-the-book Star Wars movie, so I think if it was something completely different, the blowback would have been worse. And at this point, they've abandoned the Star Wars story, like, moniker, and now that's just the stuff that we're getting as, like, the Star Wars stuff on Disney Plus. But I didn't hate this. Like, I think there's still some good stuff in this. I generally like this movie, but it's not going to be something that when I'm saying, like, oh, I want to watch a Star Wars, I'm probably not going to be putting it on.
Kate will watch this with me more than any other the other Star Wars.
Well, that's high praise.
Is it because Alden Ehrenreich's a cutie?
I don't know. I think she just likes the action in it. It's more grounded. There's no crazy, you know, it's not like spaceships and political satire, you know, politics going on. It's just a guy just trying to get by.
Yeah. I think people didn't like Alden Ehrenreich because, like, oh, he doesn't look like Harrison Ford. It's like, well, he's not Harrison Ford, but, like, he has the mannerisms down. Like, I didn't discount him as Han Solo.
So before this movie came out, he was in a Coen Brothers movie, Get Caesar or Hail Caesar. Hail Caesar. He was the best part, like, in that movie. He was great, and he was hilarious. Like, he was hilarious, and that's why it's like, I think he would have, with Lord and Miller, like, he would have been a better kind of comical Solo. With, like, I think he could still have done it, but he was, like, I think he would have been better being more fun and funny Solo than then having to be, like, more, like, Harrison Ford and dry and, bleh. You know, like, I think he would have been better as a more of a fun, funny Solo. Because there was all those crazy rumors coming out of this movie with when it was under Lord Miller, and they're like, oh, they got to hire him a acting coach, and they got to do all this kind of stuff. And then when they were fired, it was that whole thing of, like, somebody went and squealed on Lord Miller to be like, they're not making the movie they told you they were making. And then they started watching the dailies, and then they're like, whoa. Then they were fired, and then they remade the entire movie. They brought Ron Howard in, and he basically made like 94% of the movie. So, I mean, it's a movie that had so much trouble, but I have fun with it. Like, I have fun with it.
I don't mind it. Like, I dig it.
I like Woody Harrelson. I like
we didn't talk about the pilot.
What's his name?
Happy Hogan.
What's his name?
He's in charge of Star Wars now.
John Favreau.
Yeah, I didn't mind that. Like, we didn't talk about Woody Harrelson, and I feel bad I don't remember the character's name, but like, he does Beckett. Well as that. Yeah, Beckett. He does well as that, like, oh no, like, I'm taking Han Solo under my wing. Like, I'm going to teach him how to be the scoundrel. And it's like, of course I'm going to sell you out, kid. Like, have you learned nothing from me? Like, I get that. Like, it makes sense.
The person that was my conscience is dead. So, of course, I'm going to sell you out. I got nothing left to live for.
Yeah. Even, what's his name? Paul Bettany.
Yeah,
as the driving boss. Like, okay, like, I'm down for him. Like, I love Paul Bettany enough. Like, you put him as even like a wishy-washy villain in something. Like, I'm down for it. Dude was Chaucer in A Knight's Tale. Like, sign me up. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm cool with it. Like I said, I put this just on C tier because I wanted to have it on the board so we can move it around. I think for me, this would either be high C or low B. And when I mean low B, I mean probably behind Attack of the Clones, like bringing up that B tier, because I think Attack of the Clones adds more to the mythology. Like, because you don't need to see this movie to know who Han Solo is. Like, Han Solo.
You got four movies to know that. I'm fine with this being bottom B.
On my list, I have it in between Revenge of the Sith and Attack of the Clones.
Interesting.
Where
Attack so of the what? What is it about this that puts it above Attack of the Clones for you then?
I think
that's the question you need to answer, because as of now it'll be low B. But Paul, if you can defend it, we may.
I
support your decision.
Just because it's a straight through line character arc, it's one event. It's one simple event you're going through. Attack of the Clones has a bunch of different stuff, vignettes and stuff going on. You kind of lose the thread of it. And Solo, you never lose the thread. You know exactly who's doing what and why.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great. And I like the humor in it. That I think I couldn't imagine this being more jokey, because I think I would.
Yeah, I think it'd be too much. Roll
at that point. It would be, unless Lord and Miller can do, I don't know.
I mean,
something crazy.
They can do like good heartwarming humor. Like they have it in their bones, but I don't know if it would come out in
the Mitchells versus Machines, which is the animated movie they did
before. Like the family road trip for that.
Yeah.
Like, or something. Yeah.
Really, really good, funny, and has a lot of heart to it. Like, I think they could. I actually would really like to see their Solo movie.
Well, never will.
Much like we'll never see the Kevin or the Colin Trevorrow.
Which I, having read like the script experts and seeing like the concept art, like that seemed like a very interesting movie. But we did get Rise of Skywalker from J.J. Abrams, rounding out our Star Wars film saga. There's a lot in this movie that I just actively did not like. And that's probably how John felt about Last Jedi, where it's a lot of throwing new characters into things that they don't need to be there, but then wiping other characters that we know and like off the table, which, Paul, you spoke about Rose Tico earlier, because like I liked her in Last Jedi, and they literally just get rid of her in this movie and be like, oh, she's on a planet helping Princess Leia do something.
She's at home base and she's studying the old blueprints of the Star Destroyers, because, and that's, you know, it. She's got to do homework.
But then we get Dominic Monaghan as some random person that tells us somehow Palpatine has returned. Ancient Sith magic, cloning, whatever.
Fortnite.
Fortnite. That's how it was announced. We get Zori Bliss, a bounty hunter or like just roguish spice character.
Runner. Spice runner.
Who lets us know that, Poe Dameron, you used to be a spice runner. That doesn't change anything about the character. We know and like this guy already. It's like Han Solo being a smuggler and a pirate. Like, that's fine. Like, he's got a heart of gold. He's doing the right thing now. Like, cool. Like, that changed nothing. Babu Frick, who fucking A, let's go. Love that little dude. Best thing about this movie. But even, like, where we had that promise of these characters going, all just kind of being, like, undercut, like with maybe Finn's force sensitive, it hints at it, but then it also doesn't matter because he doesn't matter in this movie. That hurts.
He didn't really matter in the previous movie either.
It was building, like they gave him an arc at least, like him ready and willing to finally sacrifice himself for something. When he wouldn't even just be like a run of the mill stormtrooper in the first movie, like they were building him up.
Yeah.
And then just be like, nope, you're fine. Like you can't tell Rey that you might feel force sensitive because your story doesn't matter at this point. Like that hurts so much because I like that dude. I can't remember the actor's name now. I feel bad.
John Boyega.
Yeah, John Boyega. I loved him in these movies, and like he seemed like so ready to go. Poe Dameron, fantastic. Oscar Isaac does no wrong in any of these movies. I'm there for him.
The previous movie was splitting the band up. This is getting the band back together, where they put all those the main three, the trio, back together with Chewbacca.
But even the Chewbacca like fake death, where like, oh, you think he's on that like prisoner ship, and then like 5 minutes later they're like, nope, he's okay. Like I rather would have just had them kill him off instead of being like, nope, sorry, we tried to make you feel something.
We get
the same thing with 3PO, where it's like 3PO is about to lose his programming. Like it's in the trailer where he's like, oh, I'm just taking one last look at my friends. And it's like, nope, R2 had me backed up. I'm still C-3PO. I'm going to annoy you cunts. Like, there's no stakes in this movie.
No, I agree. And even, like, the thing about this is this was supposed to be the...
Somehow Palpatine returned.
So yes, exactly, too. Like,
oh, it turns out, nope, Snoke, that figure that's been, like, looming in the background, nope, it was just... An apparition
a failed clone.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. We're learning about it now in the series. Apparently, I don't know who he knows.
But I rather would have had him be like, oh, maybe they were trying to figure out how to bring Palpatine back. The closest they could do was Emperor Snoke in the meantime, and finally we made it happen. Instead of just being like, no, he's a clone. He wasn't actually him, but. You know, he was, like, Palpatine was whispering to Kylo Ren the whole time, like, that.
This was supposed to be the final chapter of the Skywalker saga. Like, but all they did was kill off everyone named Skywalker, or related to a Skywalker in this movie, and then just have somebody at the end go, my name's Rey Skywalker.
Yeah.
Like, there was no like, oh, this is the end of this trilogy for them, where you just killed them off. And again, yes, I mean, Carrie Fisher passed away and they took old clips and they did whatever
we didn't talk about. I feel like they could have just had an easy out with Kylo Ren destroying like the cruiser or ship she was on. Like that could have just been, could have been it.
They had like two ways out because she's in a coma. Mm-hmm. For half of the second movie.
Yeah.
And then she wakes up, but they could have redone it where she's the one who does
the Holdo maneuver.
The Holdo
maneuver. Like, and then have
and I was like, they kept
Laura Dern be like, okay, no, now I'm the head of
exactly.
The resistance. Yeah.
They could have done a moment where the original script, yes, that was probably what would happen, but they could have just been like she locks them out of that room. And then that thing happens. Like, Because there's no reason she's a, like, she's a great general. Like, why would you just, everybody go, I'm the second in command of this. I'm the one who knows the most. I'm going to kill myself. Like,
I don't mind the, or blame the writers, because, you know, when Carrie Fisher died, I don't think I'd want to kill Carrie Fisher on screen either. Like, I didn't want to sit, I didn't want to.
But they did it in the next movie.
Yeah, they still had to, like, yeah, hand wave her away and away. And it's like, you already had a moment that happened in Last Jedi where it's like, and then that would have added more weight to the choices that Kylo Ren had made in that movie, where, like, because you see him kind of struggling with it, like, oh, am I gonna pull the trigger on this, and like those other ties like scream past him. Like, if it had been like, no, like that was my call to make, like, I should have shot it, oh, my mom's dead now, like, maybe this isn't why I should be part of this, like, it kind of plants the seeds for his break in what we got with Rise of Skywalker, where it's like, oh, no, I am a good guy now. Like, because I don't like this movie. There's only so much Babu Frick, yeah, Nine Numb reappearing, and Lando Calrissian reappearing can do to carry me through it. And even that, like, triumphant moment where you get all of those ships coming back, and it's like, oh, we called, everybody, yeah, answered. Well, you called before and nobody showed up when you were trying to escape, like, the other Crate. Star Destroyer, yeah, like, on Crait. Like, you put this out there. Like, granted, things are worse now. Like, okay,
and
now
people, and that's another, yeah, fake out. Oh, nobody's coming. We're it. We're going to lose here. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have brought everybody here.
And then every ship's a Star Destroyer. Like, yeah, I hated that. Like, you don't need that. Like, a Star Destroyer is bad enough that it's now a system ending catastrophe. Like, you don't have to have multiple of those. Like, we know one's bad. You plug the exhaust port. Oh shit, what do we do now?
And it's another, like, phantom planet that was missing, lost. All these people have just been waiting on this planet for the Emperor to take over again. They have that battle where they're, like, running with the, are they, like, on big cats running on the spaceship?
Yeah.
The stolen babies, like, Lando being like, they stole my baby, and then,
but then they don't even, like, they kind of wink and nod that Janna, the girl that is also the escaped stormtrooper that Finn's, like, palling around with, could be his daughter. Like, just do then, that. Like, these movies are all about legacy. Like, have Lando get some of that too. Like, Lando, he's one of the best Star Wars characters. Like, he's so deep and intricate. Mm-hmm. Like, give him something that can pay off in, like, the next movie or a book or a comic book series. Like, come on.
And it's just another love interest for Finn as well.
Well, because he couldn't have Rey, because Rey wasn't interested in him.
But then he also couldn't have Rose.
Because they stuck Rose on a planet looking at maps. Like,
this movie is,
but you like it more than Last Jedi.
It has more fun to it. I don't think it's good. I do not think it's good. There's something about the previous film that I just viscerally hate. Like, it really rubs me the wrong way. Like, I hate it. This one, I think, is a bad movie.
See, I think I feel how you feel about Last Jedi about this, but I still don't actively, like, yeah, I'm not going to vomit and, like, punch somebody over this movie like you feel about Last Jedi. Like, I don't know what happened to you, John.
I'm not going to punch anybody.
No, but, like, I'm not having, like, that same reaction to this, and I think this is the worst live-action Star Wars
movie. I think this movie is garbage. Like, I do, like, it's definitely down there. It's bad.
So,
John, and
just, like, Rey also being a daughter of the clone of Palpatine who escaped. Yeah. Like, this movie is a mess.
Have her be the child of Obi-Wan Kenobi and Satine from Mandalore. Like, oh, I never knew she had a child. Like you could have bridged that gap there and still have this be a legacy movie.
Or You don't even need it to be Ben. You don't need it to be Obi-Wan. He could have it be his brother.
But even... His brother. But even at, what we got in Last Jedi, like, no, you're nobody. You're just a person. Like, that's what all of these movies came from. It's just like a person on a dust planet is destined for more.
And even in your favorite movie, like, they show, like, there's people who are just... They're still people who have the Force. Just
I'm sorry. I thought you talked about Shaun of the Dead. Sorry. It's crossing a lot.
Just because the Jedi are down doesn't mean people aren't Force sensitive.
Yeah.
Like, she can just be somebody who has the Force. She doesn't need to be related to anybody. Her father could have been a Jedi who escaped at her... or mother could have been a Jedi who escaped Order 66.
We're getting more and more Jedi that happened to survive that. She could have been the child of one of the Inquisitors. Like, who knows? Like, they're doing their own thing. Like, that could have added some depth over to that side. I just feel like this is not good. Yeah. I have to put this low C, like, behind Phantom Menace, because as much as I like bits and pieces from this, Star Wars The Force Awakens is cringy and not good. Cringy you can have some fun with. Like, we were quoting some lines earlier. This is just not good.
No. And again, this is that problem of the... When you sat down to do this trilogy, you can't capture lightning twice. George Lucas, with that original trilogy, was able to capture lightning with all three of those movies. Like, they sat down and said, okay, we'll write this. This should have been the whole series, they call it like a Bible. Like, everything written, what should happen, change some of the beats, but these are the story arcs for the characters. And they didn't. They kept changing it. Every single movie rearranged all the pieces to not flow and make a cohesive story. And I honestly, what's your name? Rey Skywalker. Like, you're not fulfilling that Skywalker trilogy of a start to a finish of these characters by just killing those original characters and having somebody say that they're a Skywalker.
So where does this fall for you on our current...
I'm
current tier list.
Where it is, bottom C, I think, is fine. That Clone Wars movie is a D. Like, I can't. Like, I do not remember that movie. Like, I know this is theatrical release movies, but that's one that's like blindside. I don't know.
Paul.
Yeah, I sometimes think, like, I grew up with the original trilogy. That is Star Wars because that is what Star Wars is. It is that. There was no internet. Well, there was message boards, BBS boards and stuff. But I wasn't on them as a kid. I wasn't, you know, putting the phone on the coupler and getting on there. So there wasn't any idea of what else it could have been because that is what it is. And when I went to go see Rise of Skywalker, I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna not watch any videos. I'm not gonna listen to anything. I'm not even gonna watch the trailers. I want to come in here with no notions about what it should be. And
you started that with you started that with Force Awakens. Like, you watched the first trailer and you're like, no more.
Yeah, and then I got so
psyched. I've adapted that with a lot of the Marvel stuff after that, Paul, because I was like, yeah, Paul's right. Like, first trailer, give me the taste. I don't need to see anything else.
Because with the last